The scripture reading from this morning will be taken from Joshua chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. Joshua chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I command them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow.' For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, 'These are the things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst.'"
Well, good morning. We have a new projector, if you're wondering. All right. We have many that are visiting with us, and we are so thankful that you've come out to be with us. Cannot imagine what it had to have been like in Joshua, the 7th chapter, if you'd open your Bibles there, if you have not done so already. Last week, we talked about Joshua, the 1st chapter, and really leading up to Jericho. The people just walked around a city. Just walked around a city. A very much fortified city, a powerful city, a big city. And it fell down. Not because of the people, but because of the God. I want you to notice at the end of Joshua, the 6th chapter, the last verse that is said. It says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land." They all had heard of it. They all knew what had happened. Chapter 7, verse 1, the first verse, or the first word, "but." We're going to talk this morning about a man named Achan. He's not one of the more popular people in the scriptures, and probably because it's sort of a negative subject, a negative story, but it's an important story. When you talk about the fact that they had been warned, "Do not take anything from the city." I want you to imagine how difficult that had to have been. Yes, I just walked around the city. Yes, it just fell down. But they walked through and there was gold and there was silver and there were beautiful clothing all around. And they're not to touch anything. Not to take anything. How difficult would that be not to take? It's hard enough to go to a place when they have samples and it says, "Please take one." You imagine it's right there in front of you. The people that owned it are dead. I'm not even stealing it from them. What's the big deal? You know, from a human perspective, there is no big deal. What is the big deal? You find money all the time. I'm always looking down when I go to places because I'm looking for coins. I learned that from my dad. I'm looking for money. These days, that's not around as much as it used to. If you can leave money around, I'd appreciate it. But that's what we do. We're looking for something. And it's interesting what it says about Achan as you go forward. It says he saw it, he wanted it, so he took it. You imagine they go into Ai, and Ai should be just a simple city to beat. It is a small city. Matter of fact, they decide, "We don't even have to send many of our troops. Let's just leave them here. They can rest. We'll take a small group over there. No big deal. We'll take them out." 36 people were killed of Israel's army. The verses that were just read to us are because Joshua hears what happened. And he falls on his face and he says the exact same thing that the people said when they came out of Egypt. "Why? Why have you brought us here? if we're just going to die? Why have you brought us here if we're just going to lose? God says, get up. Get up. There's sin in the camp. I'm not going to be with you when there's sin in the camp. Get rid of it. Joshua gets up. They whittle it down to Judah's tribe, Achan's family. Achan comes up, and it's pretty obvious at that point he can't lie about it anymore. And you come to verses 20 and 21. And so Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. That is a lot that he took. And he knew it was wrong because he did what people do. He buried it. He hid it. I saw it. I wanted it. So I took it. I want you to think about something for a minute. There probably were others that saw it. There may have been others that wanted it. Achan's the only one that took it. It's an interesting perspective. We're all tempted. There's all things that tempt us. But it's up to each and every one of us as individuals whether or not we're going to fall into it. You know, it's interesting to me. That's very similar to what it says about Eve in Genesis, the third chapter in verse 6. She saw the fruit. She desired to be like God. So she took it. That's exactly what we do when it comes to sin. In James, the first chapter, verses 13 through 15, that's what James tells us. You can be tempted by something, but it's when you take the next step that it becomes sin. That's what Achan did. It wasn't wrong for him to see it. It wasn't wrong for him, in essence, necessarily to want it, though the word covet is an interesting term. It was wrong for him to take it, and he took it, and he hid it. The sad part of this whole story, as you go forward, that his whole family is killed because of this. What's the big deal? Can you imagine? They send out thousands of troops out. 36 are killed. What's the big deal? It's a big deal if that's your family. I always love when you think about that from that perspective. Oh, there's only a couple of people who have died. If that's your brother or sister or your mom and dad, that couple of people is highly important. That's not my family. It's just 36. That's how awesome the story of Jericho is. That 36 people had them rattled. But 36 people are a lot when you know them, when they're your family. That's this whole side over here, gone. You think about it from that perspective, it's different. They see Achan, you brought this sin into our camp. We're going to take care of it now. We're going to get rid of this sin. I want you to think for just a minute what Achan knew. Why did he take it? In one sense, I think there's an understanding that he did not trust God fully of things. Who knows why he took it other than the fact he wanted it. That's all we're told. But he took it. Perhaps he had a reason for it other than the fact he wanted to bury it. You know, it's interesting to me when you think about what Achan saw. Achan saw the great power of the Almighty God. Think about this for just a minute. When he was back in the wilderness, he would have been born after the last generation. In Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, we are told by Moses, talking, God's talking. And he says, you will never have to have or never have your clothes worn out in the wilderness. They never were worn out. Your sandals were never worn out. That's tough work for a tailor. At that time, I'm sure. Never worn out. You could have all the food that you want. You just walked out, there was food. They get into Canaan on dry ground, dry land. He walks across. He walked around Jericho and it fell down. He knew the power of the Almighty God. He knew it. He saw it. You know who else did? It's interesting to me when you look at the story again of Eve. She saw God's power. She absolutely was taken care of, but she wanted something more. They both, in essence, were in the promised land, but they both were kicked out in their own way of the promised land. In the Garden of Eden, and now in Canaan. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Not only had Achan seen the power of God, not only had Eve seen the power of God, you and I have. We know his power. We know what he has done. We know that he will take care of our needs. But in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." I love verse 3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, who has not? We all have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Therefore, put aside the nonsense, he says. Put aside those things. Don't be hypocritical. Do the things you're supposed to do. Continue to grow in the respect of to salvation because you have tasted his kindness. You know it. You know his power. You know he's taking care of you, but you know what we do? We hide silver and gold in our tent. That's what we do. It's interesting in the Old Testament how God would make them have faith in the fact that they were going to step out of their tent and there was going to be food there. You had to have faith. You could not collect more than that day's, unless it was Friday, for the Sabbath. You couldn't collect more. If you did, it would rot. It would rot. It would be spoiled. You have to do exactly what he commanded. It's the exact same thing for me and for you. You have seen his power. You are in the promised land, or going to the promised land. You have the inheritance. Stop burying things in your tent. The other aspect of this that is very sad, as we talked about, is that sin never impacts only the sinner. Never. I don't care if you call it what they call the secret sins, the things that you think that you are the only one that knows. It'll either impact you financially, it'll impact you as far as time spent with others, and I guarantee you it'll impact your attitude, because grace, or guilt rather, is a horrible thing to carry around. It is an amazing thing of what occurs. You could be the only one who thinks that you know of the sin. You know what Achan did? He's the only one he thinks that knows about it, perhaps his household. And he still buries it. He still buries it. There are people that get caught up in thinking that, whoa, did somebody see me? Does somebody know? They can tell on my face they know. Were you there? I don't know how often I've preached a sermon, which may be like this one, and somebody's saying, "He's preaching it because I'm here." Does he know? No, I have no idea. I have no idea. But God does. He absolutely does. I didn't wait to preach the sermon when you were here. This is the follow the last one. It's providence. God knows. We have got to understand that the impact of sin will absolutely impact your family. Now, for Achan, it killed him. Killed him. I'm going to tell you, mothers and fathers, you can kill your children spiritually. It's their choice. But the impact of your actions will absolutely impact your children. There is no question about that. It's their choice. But it will impact them. The decision that you think from a selfish perspective is only affecting you is absolutely wrong. You know who else this affected? What did those 36 people have to do with Achan? What did they have to do with him? They weren't even all from the tribe of Judah. They may not even have known him. In this case, it impacted a nation. It can impact the church. Your decisions can impact your spiritual family. You don't think that's a big deal? As one who gets to hear what happens, I'm telling you it's a big deal. I want you to think for just a minute in Acts, the 5th chapter, about the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Everything was going so well in the early church. It was going so well. Everything was going well here in Joshua, the 6th chapter. They just walked around the city and it fell down. Then you come to these two stories where humans get involved and do what humans do. They see something, they want something, and they took it or kept it. In both stories, there is an impact on the people around them. Now the church, in Acts the 5th chapter, it says are greatly afraid. Great fear took them. So much so that they stayed away from the apostles, it says, but they kept them in high esteem, which is interesting. But they grew after that. They chose to grow. People follow. Joshua the 7th chapter. There was an impact on the church or on the people in Joshua the 7th chapter. You know what happens though? They absolutely destroy Ai next. Because they got sent out of the camp and turned to God. What would have happened if Joshua would not have gotten up? Get up, Joshua. Well, what would have happened is that God would have had somebody else lead his people. But it's a choice that you and I have. There can be sin in the camp. We have to get it out of the camp, and we got to keep going. We have got to keep going. It's going to have an impact, but that impact does not have to be solely bad. In Acts, the 5th chapter, as I said, it continued to go. But I'm going to tell you, in a congregation right now that is at peace, your decisions, my decisions, can absolutely have an impact on that. It can. Your decisions impact me. My decisions impact you. Is that fair? Who cares? It's not about that. It is. We have got to understand that not only that, it obviously impacts our relationship with God. The verses that were read to us in Joshua the 7th chapter, I pray we understand what this is saying. Because of the sin of Achan, God left the people. Because there was sin in the camp, he left them. He turned against them. You get rid of it, and then I'll come back. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that your face had fallen on, or why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them." How did Israel sin? Israel sinned? Who sinned? Achan sinned. You don't think that had an impact on Israel? God says it does. Think about that. All Achan did was he wanted to take some things. What is the big deal? I don't know. God said it was a big deal. He said, do not take, and they took. You know what he's going to tell them in Ai? Take. Why? Because it's God. That's all that matters. It has an impact whether you like it or not. It has an impact whether you think it's a small thing or not. It has an impact. Here's the good thing. The good choices that you make have an impact, no matter how small they are. You have an impact. And we have got to understand the opportunity to have an impact on one another. I want you to notice Joshua, the 8th chapter, in verse 1. Can you imagine how difficult this had to be? They sent out people in chapter 7, and it didn't go well. 36 of them die. They all run back home. Chapter 8 begins by saying, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and rise up and go to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." Wouldn't there be a little part of you saying, "Is that true? Is that going to happen?" That's the human side. But true confidence, true faith in God understands when he is with us, there is nothing against us. What can man do? They absolutely destroy Ai. And then they keep going. This is a little blip in the great victories in Canaan. But there is an amazing lesson for you and I to learn. Your sin impacts other people. It certainly impacts you. But it absolutely impacts others. I pray that we all understand the significance of that. If you want to have a victorious life, you have to live it. Do you think Achan believed in God? I do. He believed in him. I don't think that was an issue. There's a lot of people that believe in God. Did Achan obey God? What if he obeyed him every other thing he did? Think about that. He walked around the city. He made it through the wilderness. All he did was take a little reward. What's the big deal? I don't think it takes much for us to understand how that can impact all of us. Justification is a great thing, or a bad thing, I guess. Be careful of the decisions that you make. One of the things, certainly as a parent, understanding that there has to be at least another second of thought that how does this impact the people around me? When you're younger, sometimes you don't think that way. I encourage you to do so. Those decisions you make impact so many. I can remember my parents, when I was younger, telling me that very same thing. You better remember who you are. What you do impacts me. Didn't make sense too much then. It definitely does now. It's amazing how often you'll see a name in the paper. Somebody has done something bad. And their family has the exact same last name. And you know who they're related to. You're related to that person that did this. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine from a bad perspective or bad situation how that would be? That's the decisions that you and I make. What's the big deal? If you're not a child of God, I can't even begin to tell you what you are missing. The difference that we hopefully see between God being with us and God not being with us is very, very clear. And it's a decision that you and I have. Achan did not have to take anything. You and I do not have to have a relationship with him. That's a choice that we have. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm telling you, he is the Son of God. That he came and he died for you, and he died for me to give us just the opportunity to be with him for eternity. Just the opportunity. And you understand that you need to repent of the sins that you have committed. Confess him as the Son of God that he is. Not just verbally in our lives, how we're going to live. Not to deny him. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Now is the time. Do not wait. You've done those things, you believe, you've been through all the different things. You've walked around the city, in essence. You've seen his power. Don't stop. Keep following. Keep living the life that you can be with him for eternity. If there's something that we can do for you right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.